Last week on Handball, you met Jo Marie Courtney, who was nice enough to show you around her neuroscience lab. We got to check out human stem cells that she was turning into neurons. Now, if you'd like to actually see that, you can go to my Twitter account. So just look up Joel Reinberger Twitter, and you'll actually be able to see the photos of Jo Marie. And I actually got the phone up to the microscope and managed to take a good photo of human stem cells gathering into a neurosphere, which is going to eventually become a neuron that she can do tests on. It's a fascinating thing. So she handballed us onto Svenja Kratz, who is a bio artist that she's done some work with. Svenja, good morning to you.
Morning. Thanks so much for having me here.
Now, what was the work you were doing with Jo Marie in the neuroscience lab?
So I'm really fortunate to actually be one of the ANAT, which is the Australian Network for Art and Technology, and they have a Synapse Residency program, which is just a wonderful program to bring artists and scientists together to work on collaborative projects. So Jo Marie and I, along with Brad Sutherland and also a collaborator from Queensland, are working on a project where we're going to be immortalizing fibroid cells that are actually cells that were isolated from a large fibroid tumor from my uterus back in 2020. So that will give you a bit of an idea of the type of work that we're doing.
Now, what was the arts grant application for that like?
So it was actually an exciting project because it's really looking at giving voice to the experiences of women that do have reproductive health issues, but then also thinking about, well, if you can't have children of your own, how might biotechnologies allow you to have biological offspring, but to actually rethink that offspring as being cells rather than babies? So that's kind of my position that I'm coming into the project, using it as a kind of proposition for, reclaiming agency in situations like that.
So you have a growth removed from your uterus. Do you tell the doctor, please put it aside and in a nice jar and give it to me as soon as we're done? How do you actually keep those cells alive? What do you do?
So, I have had work done previously where I've had bits of my body taken for my research across art and science. And so in this case, I was just really adamant with the surgeon when they confirmed that I did need to have the growth removed. Please, can you take a section of that growth and actually make sure that that gets passed on to someone who's going to isolate cells? And it is a relatively routine procedure, often more in the realm of pure science research, though. So in this case, it was a familiar procedure, and I just had to explain to them the significance and what I was doing with that material as part of an art science practice.
So is it something they might do as part of testing anyway, to take a cell culture and see what it's up to?
Absolutely. So they didn't give me the whole tumor baby, as I like to call it. They did cut sections off because a lot of it does, part of that tissue had to, of course, go into pathology to get confirmed that it was non-cancerous. And most fibroids are non-cancerous, but you just want to make sure that there isn't any other pathologies underlying the condition. So I just had a few little bits that were passed on to Jo Marie, and Jo Marie was actually the wonderful scientist that went into the lab and then isolated cells from that tissue.
So how does she keep them alive so that they can be bred and other things can be done with them?
So when you have tissue, you have to isolate them. So because, of course, they're originally in this sort of tissue, and so they get kept in a liquid medium. So they actually use an enzyme that breaks the cells apart, and then they get grown in tissue culture flasks. So they get grown in a liquid medium that has a number of growth factors, but also fetal calf serum, which is like a nutrient-rich serum derived from the plasma of fetal calf. Calves, and that kind of keeps them growing, and they grow in flasks.
So they don't have blood rushing past them, but they have enough of that nutrient around them to stay alive.
Absolutely. So it's really, really different when you're working with cell culture than when you have your cells in your body, because of course there's no immune system, so you have to keep them in a sterile environment make sure that nothing gets introduced, because the second you get any bacteria or fungus in there, when you're growing it, it's also in a warm environment. So it's perfect for other organisms.
It's a hothouse, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's 37 degrees, moist. It's just the perfect environment for other organisms. So one of the big things is keeping it really sterile, and that's been really great. I have worked in cell and tissue culture before, and now I've got the opportunity to go back in there. I actually was doing some culture last week with Jo Marie, and so far no infections, looking good. We've brought up my fibroid cells, and now it's just fingers crossed that they're all also freaking from contamination.
How strange is it to look down there and see your own cells? And are they starting to multiply in there as well?
Well, I haven't seen my fibroid cells yet. I've been working with the HBVPs, which are the cells that Jo Marie works with as part of the stroke group. And that's always fascinating to have a look at the differences between the different cell types. So it'll be really nice to see, you know, my cells and how they compare in terms of morphology. We sort of think that they're probably fibroblasts, which is a common sort of cell type that's found a lot in connective tissue and skin and things like that. But I'm just really looking forward to seeing them. So Monday will be the big reveal.
Oh, okay. Will you actually go and get to look down the microscope?
I'll go in, we'll have a look down, because I've sort of been training up again just to make sure that I've got all of the techniques down and I know where everything is and we've got the right media.
So Monday, what are you doing with them? Now that the cells are there, what are you actually going to do?
So we're going to immortalize them. That's the ultimate aim. So the idea is to actually have a cell line that we're going to develop, which is essentially the difference between normal cells and a cell line, is that cell lines will just keep replicating indefinitely, whereas normal healthy cells will only replicate about 50 times and then they stop. And that just keeps it from having errors or things creeping into the cells. Whereas here we'll have them so that they're immortalized and they'll just keep replicating as long as they're in, you know, the correct environment. So it doesn't necessarily mean they actually are immortal, because, you know, I don't think anyone's cultured cells long enough to see that. But it does mean that they'll be able to keep growing and growing and growing as long as they're in the right environment.
And does that mean eventually they will go out into a scientific environment and be used by other scientists for other experiments?
So the aim is that we would actually, if we're successful, because you never know if things will work out, but if we are successful, we do want to see whether we can make those cells available for both scientific and artistic use, and to really use that as a springboard to have a look at, well, what are the current regulatory frameworks that are, you know, put in place around biomaterials. So that's where we're also working with Jane Nielsen from the Centre for Law and Genetics to actually look at issues around privacy. What can you make public? Where are there potential liabilities? And how does research differ when it's in a, you know, university research environment versus a more commercial research environment?
You're listening to ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania. I'm Joel Reinberger. I'm speaking to Svenja Kratz, who is a biological artist and is making her own cell line immortal. You're going to maybe end up being the next Henrietta Lacks, aren't you?
Well, you know, I think that what's really great, yes, I do think that that is sort of an aim of being able to look at having a cell line that becomes used globally for a whole range of projects and seeing what might come from that. You know, Henrietta Lacks's cells, which is the HeLa cell line, were really instrumental in polio vaccines and a whole range of really amazing medical breakthroughs. But it's also a really fraught history because, of course, Henrietta Lacks was, you know, an African-American woman. It was in the 1950s where, you know, healthcare, there was a real racial divide around healthcare, and also the cells were taken without her consent. So it had a number of sort of traumatic legacies for her family. And so that's also where issues around informed consent are really, really, really crucial within this kind of biomedical domain.
How much of Henrietta Lacks's cell line now exists on the planet?
So in reading Rebecca Skloot's book, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, she estimated it would be about 50 million metric tons. So overall, over the life, you know, the lifetime of that cell line being developed, because, of course, they've grown up in massive quantities for research.
Wow, that's extraordinary. Now, what sort of actual artwork comes out of this? I understand this is part of the art process of doing this experiment, and but what sort of what comes out of it that people can look at and call art?
So you can't know immediately what the outcome is going to be, because a lot of it is emergent, and it's so part of the research process will allow that to come to fruition. But a lot of the time I work particularly within a kind of sculptural installation media. So I'm sort of thinking about developing sculptural works that will have glass vessels with the cells growing in them. So that's why with Jo Marie, we're sort of testing how to actually get the cells to adhere to the glass, how we can colour that so that it visualises the actual cells. There might also be video works, but most likely there'll be larger sort of sculptural work, because that's really the area that I'm quite interested in working at this at this moment.
I do have to go back finally to one more thing that you said earlier, that you mentioned you've had all sorts of bits of your body taken away to make it. What other bits of your body have you given away for the sake of art?
So I have had probably the biggest would be two skin grafts that were removed from my arms as part of a project that I did for my PhD, where we were working with human skin equivalent models.
Wow.
And I needed to have essentially a layer that other people's cells could grow on. And so I had skin grafts taken from my arms that then became the kind of dermal layer that their cells then grew on. So that was sort of a project.
There's skin-to-skin contact for you. There's nothing as intimate as that, is there?
And to top it all off, it was making jewellery. So,
Svenja Kratz, it's been absolutely fascinating. My jaw has been on the floor for half of this. Do tell me, who are you going to handball me onto?
So I'm going to handball you onto Anita Gowers, who is a really interesting person because she is the most passionate person you will ever meet on picture frames, which sounds like, you know, an odd topic, but absolutely fascinating when you speak to someone who has real expertise in that field.
Okay. A framer next week.